Hello, everyone. Welcome to the table. My name is Jack. Today will be a special service led by the kids. If it's your first time, it's going to be a good one, even if it's different from our usual service. I'll be tonight's text, which is a fun one to say, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6 through chapter 6, verse 4 through 7. Listen, Israel, our God is Lord. Our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your whole self, and all your strength. These commandments that I have given you must always be in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you're out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up.
Good job. All right. Thanks so much, Jack. Can you all hear me? I actually didn't do a sound check tonight, so I was just relying on our very skilled tech, Alex, back there. So thank you. Let's thank him, because he's going to be doing some heavy lifting tonight as there's going to be people getting up and down. Hey, my name is Jay. I'm on the team at the table here. But tonight is largely actually not going to be run by our team at the table here. It's going to be run by our kids who are part of our community. And so thus tonight they are our team, right? And so I'm just going to kick off the night by just explaining a little bit behind this service. If you're new, a little bit about how we run our kids' programs and how we integrate our young ones into our community so that you can kind of get an idea of why that is meaningful to us tonight, okay? So I chose this text from Deuteronomy because it mentions, right, being able to imbue our new generations, our children, with the memory of what this commandment is, the greatest commandment, and to be sure that our children recite it in their lives, and that not only do they recite it and know it, but that they live it in their rising and in their setting and in their going and in their coming. And so that's why we chose this part from Deuteronomy tonight. And the reason we're doing this service where our kids get to lead, they get to be in the band, they get to share with us a message about how 2024 has been and how exciting 2025 is going to be part of this community. It's not just because none of our preachers wanted to preach tonight. It is because for the last couple months we've been thinking, hey, this once a month kids in service and getting to help us lead with words of institution, with communion, and with the readings has been so awesome. What if we hand most of a service over to the vision and to the voices of our children and of our middle school youth? And so that's what we've done tonight, because here at the table, we really believe that children are not just sort of like in waiting to become part of this bigger church community, but that our kids are actually our church community. They're not just waiting to be members, they are members. And their voices matter, and their contributions to us receiving the word of God matters. And so that's why we're doing this service tonight. It's gonna be awesome. Something we want you to know, whether you're a guest with kids or you're a kid or you're a parent who's been here a long time, we want you to know that we know the challenges that can arise during a service where kids are just sitting for a long time. And so we invite you to, if you need to take a couple laps in the back, go ahead. If your kid runs up and down the aisle, our other kids are not going to be fazed by that who are leading. You know, if you're our buddy Tom over here and you have some commentary too, don't feel weird if your kids are sharing their commentary on the night. That is the purpose of being a big, beautiful, and sometimes messy church community, okay? So if you do need to step out though, if your kid is overwhelmed, they're overstimulated, or if you are overwhelmed and overstimulated, we invite you to step out as you need. We will not be offended, all right? So that's how tonight is gonna go. If you're new, welcome to this fun and crazy new experience, and we hope that you can get a good sense of what our community does and why this space and this time matters to us, okay? So I'm gonna kick us off with just a quick update about, we're gonna go through kind of our updates of the highlights of our kids' community. So I'm just gonna start with our middle school program. We have a new and bustling middle school program. We have been doing tons of stuff this year. We have been baking with Marta. Marta, raise your hand. Marta, in her free time, loves to cook, to bake. I mean, cooking is different than baking, I'm sure. She also is a great cook, but she loves baking. She said no. Okay. She does not love cooking. But what has been amazing is that because baking is not just a hobby to Marta, baking is also a spiritual practice in some ways and in her own free time. And so Marta, last year, got to share with our kids when they were younger how that's a spiritual practice. And with our middle schoolers this year did the same thing, and they got to bake some buns, but also talk about what spiritual practice is and how it can expand just outside of reading the Bible or praying. And the bread was good, right? Yeah. We're also getting to do Bible study on things more than just the typical text. We did one Halloween-themed one on, I think it was like dragons, witches, and sea monsters. And it was all about kind of those like really weird supernatural sci-fi moments in the Bible, but what do they actually mean to our world today, and what do those symbols really mean? Why do they matter? So that's what we're doing in middle school. We're doing a mixture of Bible study, but also spiritual practice and conversation and socializing. So I'm going to invite up really quick Zane to tell us a little bit about what happens in our nursery community and why it's meaningful beyond just a place for folks to put and trust their babies.
Hi. This is very, okay, that was very loose. As he said, I am Zane. My pronouns are he, him. I'm the nursery lead here at the table. And every week we have, so we have this new curriculum that we just started in September, and it has been awesome with our babies. We have been able to see all the different ways that our babies and toddlers have been connecting to the Word of God. So we have a story each week. How we deliver that story changes every week. And we also have a craft that does a bunch of different things that different kids can be interested in. And then we also have a memory verse that has movements in it that the kids just love doing the movements. And it's been so cute to see them mirror them. So it's been awesome.
What's your favorite memory?
And you made this have more parts than he originally told me, because my favorite memory was going to be seeing all the ways the kids have connected to the curriculum. And now I've already told you all the ways that the kids have been connecting to the curriculum.
So we're gonna invite Caitlin and Audrey up to just give us a quick rundown so that you all know what's going on downstairs with our kids pre-K through first grade.
Thank you. Hello all, I'm Caitlin, and I get to hang out with the preschoolers on Sunday nights, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what goes on downstairs. So our goal is that all kids feel safe, known, loved, and learn about Jesus, and kind of the structure. We always start off with a little choice time as kids are gathering where they can play different toys and manips. Then we get together for a circle time where we do some sort of greeting, sharing, get to know each other. Then we have an interactive hands-on Bible story, and then some sort of supplemental, usually craft or game that we do. And then we bring everyone up here for communion, or there's also the option for kids to stay down there and be picked up at the end of the service by you if that works better for you and your child or your family. So like Zane said, we started some new curriculum this year, which has been really exciting. It's very engaging, hands-on, developmentally appropriate way for us to learn about Jesus in the Bible. So every month there's a new theme. So for January, it's all about how Jesus is a friend, and he is a good friend whether we're happy or sad, lonely or excited, and that he will never leave us. So there is a bottom line and then a memory verse that that we learn every week of the month. So this kind of half pink sheet is something that will go home, some sort of bright-colored half sheet at the end of every Sunday if you're in pre-K through first grade. That's the parent sheet and kind of tells you a little bit about what we've been learning about and how you can practice and enforce that at home. So some of the ways, my highlights for 24 and the way I've seen God at work is just seeing the kids be excited to come, excited, want to come to Sunday school, get excited to see their friends, meet new kids, like run around after the service with someone they just met for the first time. I've heard stories from parents saying, hey, you know, they didn't really want to come, but now they're excited, you know, to be with you and their friends. I've had parents talk to them and say, hey, they were reenacting the Bible story in the bathtub, or they really wanted to, like, what's that song you were playing today? They want to sing it before bed. So that's some really cool things that I've seen this year. And then looking forward to 2025, I'm just excited to keep it off, and I would invite you all to volunteer if you haven't or if you want to. We got lots of kids. We need 5 volunteers every Sunday. So nursery, pre-K, first and second, K1, and second through fifth.
Hey guys, I'm Audrey. I've been working with the K through first graders. This year I'm new, so a lot of these. So a lot of these kiddos have been here longer than I have, which is a bit daunting going into the room. But for me, my highlights were getting to know the kids and also getting to see the connections they're making from week to week, getting to see that they're connecting the Bible message from last week to this week to the week before and yada yada. And it's been so cool to see them getting excited, them making new friends, them extending a hand going, hi, you must be new. My name is XYZ. And that's just been so inspiring, and them kind of welcoming me in here because, you know, they're the veterans. I feel like I'm a little bit of a student and they're a bit of the teacher here. But it's been so nice, and I'm really excited to keep working this year.
Staff to add on this fall. She is great at building relationships with kids and their families and teaching them about Jesus. So thank you. All right, we are going to move in. We wanted time for some kids to be able to share what they, some highlights they've had this year. So in a minute, I'm going to invite Lil and Meadow up after I'm done. But first, we asked a pre-K kid about their favorite memories. And so I asked Elsie. She's 3.5. She didn't want to come up here right now, but she said I could read them. So when I asked her what her favorite part about the table is, she said the cookies and the snacks afterwards. Said, well, what's your favorite part about going to the pre-K class? And she said, seeing my friends and learning about Jesus. And she's looking forward to, in 2025, doing more art projects and singing. So there's a glimpse from Elsie, and now I would like to invite Lil and Meadow up to share.
Thank you. Okay, cool. It's on, right?
Cool.
Oh, okay. Hello. My name is Meadow.
That is my name.
So what the table has meant to me this year is I thought it was a very nice place to come and express myself and talk to new people, because I don't really like to talk to new people all that much, but it was fun to come and see new people and engage in different conversations and different things that I don't usually talk about at home. And also, it's a very comforting place if you're ever feeling down.
Hi, I'm Lily. My favorite part of the year, so this is before the very, very short speech I wrote. My favorite part of the year is getting to volunteer at the Pride booth, because in years past, we've gone and my parents have volunteered, but this year, going into sixth grade, I was able to, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoy doing it with Meadow, my friend from church and from school, which is nice to have friends from both. And I just feel really lucky to have a space like this. When I'm at church, I really feel like I can be myself. I know that a lot of people don't get to have that experience. And this experience is similar to this. So I'm so grateful for that. And when I walk into the table, I feel like there are people, kids and adults, who are genuinely happy to see me. And I know that's not true at all churches.
Awesome. Those were great. And I really I can't emphasize enough how when I asked people this week, like, if they were going to share something, if they wanted to, and then when they replied, the theme across all of it was, this is a place I can go where I'm known, where people care about what's going on in my life and where I'm safe to be completely like every part of who I am. So that's awesome. And we're gonna hear more of that from Tommy.
I'm Tommy, and the table means a safe place to be myself, be with friends, and to learn about God. That's what the table means to me.
Awesome. Another theme was friendship, was friends, right? And so I want to hear from, you're not going to have to come up here and talk, because I know it is very daunting if you didn't plan to do that. But if you are a kid in our community, or if you're an adult, I want everybody to raise a hand or make some loud noise if you've had a great chance to make a good friend here at church. Raise your hand, make some noise. Yes, I have. Yes, Sammy, you have. High five. Good job. Do you have some friends here at Churchtown? Yeah? Do you want to say something, Sammy? You can just say, why don't you say one thing that you love about having friends at church?
I love Caitlin and Elian and Kate and Martha and Brad and Uncle Theo and Sorinelli and Benny and Millie.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sammy. And Tom, can you take a seat too? We have one more thing to do. Okay, thanks, Tom. Again, right? Like that's the beauty of tonight, is that we don't have to feel self-conscious. I'm sorry, Tom. Here, Tom. Can you say the name of can you say the name of one person that you love at church?
Yeah. I love church.
You love church. Tommy loves church. Okay. All right. Good job, Tom. The last family that wanted to share was the Johnson. So I heard back from Andrea this week, and she just wanted to share that her kids really felt that church is a place that they are so excited to come because they know that they have good friends that they can trust and that they love hanging out with here at church. And the Johnsons, both Phil and Andrea, said that for them, to their family, this is just somewhere that does feel like home in a lot of ways, or family, and that this is a community that they know that not just them as an adult, but that their kids are going to be able to find support and trust, right? So we're so glad that our kids could share that good message of what it means to be part of community. And I've lost my little script here, because let me tell you, there's usually not this many moving parts in a service. Usually you just get up and talk for 20 minutes, and then it's over. So our kids just shared with us, like, what did this year mean to them? Why does church matter to them? What do they get out of it, right? Because in a lot of churches, people are dragging their kids kicking and screaming to this church. And surely I've seen plenty of kids kicking and screaming inside of the church because they're being asked actually to leave the church, okay? And I think it's wonderful that kids are having so much fun hanging out with the people that they've made relationships with, that I have seen parents have to pry their children off of the church, kicking and screaming, to the car to leave it, right? And I'm sure there are days when, because I wouldn't know, I'm not having to bring any children with me, but I'm sure there are days, parents, that you do feel like it's a fight to get your kid in the car, but I hear a lot less of that, because I think there's an amazing thing to be said about when your kids feel a genuine sense of connection and place. And you all as adults, even if you don't have kids, are part of making that community so. Because our kids mentioned that it's not just the other kids that they feel trust with or connection or God's presence, it's also the adults that they've met here. And so just know that even if you're not volunteering upstairs necessarily every week, or you don't have a kid yourself, this service is intentionally including you because you are part of the kids' church experience as well. They just reflected on the year, and now what we're gonna ask you all to do is to turn to one another and reflect on what being part of the table has meant to you in 2024. If you are new and this is your first time coming and you feel like, oh no, this was a weird night to visit, I have nothing to say, we actually would just love to hear from you and have you share with the people around you, even if it's just your friends and family you came with. Like, what does being part of a community mean to you? Because at the end of the day, the core central part of what does being part of the table mean to you is really just, why does being part of a community matter, and why do you love it? So we'll just ask you to turn to one another now for just a little bit and just talk about either, you know, what was a favorite memory? What is it meaningful to you to be part of this community? Or if you're new, just like, why does community matter to you? So let's do that right now. Just turn to one another. I don't want to interrupt any deep, meaningful conversations. So continue to talk lightly under me, because honestly, my voice just really, it doesn't matter as much. But one thing I will mention is that if you are sad that your conversation has to end, or you would like to share a little bit more, or a physical representation of what you said with the people around you, I don't know if anyone noticed, but we have this huge whiteboard that Maggie actually had to stand on a pew to be able to write on the top of. And we are inviting you to share what your favorite table memory was in 2024. And write it on the board. We want to see it. We want to know it. There's already plenty of memories on there. So we'd love to see what you write. We are now moving into care and hospitality reflections, and so I'll invite Maggie up.
Just kidding. Okay. My name is Maggie Keller. So glad to be part of the team here at the table, and I'm loving the energy tonight. I want to share with you a little bit about what care and hospitality looks like at the table, because it's one of our stated values. We believe that we are called to be a community that practices tangible, hands-on care and hospitality, and it looks a bunch of different ways. So a couple of the things I want to remind you all that happened this year, we had meal trains. Because there have been a slew of babies born to this community this year. Yes. And we put together meal trains, and not just for new babies, we also put together meal trains for folks who were having surgery or in the hospital or just needed a little bit of a lift. And that is one of the ways that this community loves each other practically. Another thing that we offer here at the table is called the Bethany Fund. And it's a fund that is funded for us by us. It's for taking care of each other. And there were a few times this year that the Bethany Fund was able to be utilized to help people from our own community who needed a little bit of a boost in an emergency situation. And that is another way that we practice that tangible care and hospitality for each other. There was also, and this is more recent, but we all rallied with the Morshes through the end of George's life and during his funeral, and that was another feature of the care team here at church. And then in a new way, we sort of revitalized and revamped the care team, and we had a training in the summer this year. It kind of took a little bit of a lull during COVID, and this was kind of like a refresh. And so I gathered with Debbie, with Sam Manning and Andrea Johnson, and we dreamt about this team training, and we wanted it to be rooted in the ways of Jesus, and also intensely practical. And we didn't know. We just threw it out to the whole community. If you want to do this, come be with us this night. And we had like a handful of RSVPs. And I think before it officially started, Debbie turned to me and was like, how many people are going to come tonight? And I was like, I don't know. 30 people showed up to Debbie's house. And I left that night. So we heard from Nikki Murray about God's heart for hospitality. We talked about like practicing compassionate listening. And we dreamed about what it means on a Sunday night for this place to be welcoming to people who walk in the door for the first time. And I left that night with such a full heart, because I felt like that this is what our community is called to. It's what our community is meant to do. And then again in October, the hospitality team met again. This time we were guided by Pastor Cody Sanders, who's here. There you are, Pastor Cody. And Cody talked about how we can take at the door welcome and translate it into hospitality, and then how to take hospitality and deepen that into belonging. And boy, if that is not the mission of the church, I don't know what is. And so I want to end this kind of brief reflection with an invitation, and that is that if you are a person who has a warm smile and you like to make connections between people, come and greet with us. If you are a person who likes to make meals for folks, we can get you on the email list for the meal trains. If you are a person who has been told in religious spaces that either because of who you are or who you love, you can't be up front in a church, come and serve communion here at the table, my friends. I would love to talk with you about some of the opportunities available to you. And I'm speaking to the kids as well, because as you have seen, our kids are incredibly gifted. And so we welcome them to lead worship with us. And so if you're a kid and you want to do some care or some hospitality, you can come and talk to me afterwards too. And next, I would like to show you just a few memories. It's not complete, but a few memories of things that happened here at the table in 2024.
Step on you. That's always my biggest concern, actually. It's not even that kids are going to distract me. I don't want to hurt you. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Okay. So, there were a couple of Easter eggs dropped of his name already, but does anybody know the name of the newest pastor on the table team? Can anyone shout it out for me? Any kids? Do you know?
Cody Sanders.
Cody Sanders. Cody Sanders. Did you know that? Did anyone else know that? Great, of course Grace knows that. You didn't know that. Well, now you know. That's okay. You guys are newer. And so he's also newer. You were here, you came and visited last year. Well, you've been coming more consistently lately. And so has Cody. Cody is new to our team. And Cody is just gonna transition us into talking about the past year into talking a bit about the next year.
Thanks. Such an energetic and beautiful service. Simon Weil says that prayer, or rather attention, is the highest form of prayer. Attention. And I think one of the gifts of being a new interim pastor in a community is that I get to spend a few months, and I've been here 3 months now, really paying attention to what's happening here, to really slowly and carefully observing everything. Because it's all new to me. Nothing is normal, nothing is routine. And so when I've been thinking about what I've been observing this year and how I could summarize the last 3 months of what being here at the table has been, I kept thinking about this little poem by Margaret Wheatley. And I wanted to read this poem and use it as a point of reflection on what I've seen and where we might be going. It's called Turning to One Another. There is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. Ask what's possible, not what's wrong. Keep asking. Notice what you care about. Assume that many others share your dreams. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you know. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talk to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everybody who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everyone is an expert about something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. Remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Real listening always brings people closer together. Trust that meaningful conversations can change your world. Rely on human goodness. Stay together. And I think the kids that spoke already said all the things that I've observed this year about what kind of community this is, a community that cares for one another, a community that holds one another amid tragedy and loss. I've heard so many of those stories that preceded my time here, and a community that can celebrate good times together and the goodness of life together. And those things are a gift. There was an 80-year-long Harvard study that looked at all sorts of factors about human health and happiness, and it's still going on, 80-plus years now. Do you know what the one factor that they found was more important than any other factor in people's health and happiness? Community, yes. Good relationships. More important to health than diet and exercise. More important than whether you were a smoker, more important than whether you had enough money or not, it was what kind of relationships you had. So the gift of a community like this cannot be undervalued when we think about this time that we're moving into. It's a community of deep care for one another, a community that has a sense of purpose, a sense of what you are about, and it comes out in the ways that you get together. And as we move into this next season in our life in the world, in our life in the country, in our life together in this place, I think it is a time for us to turn to one another and ask what's possible. There are plenty of answers to the question, what's wrong? And we will hear them daily. But when we come together, I hope that what we can ask is what's possible. And what is possible with this community and the unique gathering of these people that might not be possible anywhere else? And part of what we're doing to lean into that journey of possibility in these next days is starting a sermon series next week called The Ways of Jesus. And in this sermon series, we're not going to be talking about the things that Jesus said or the things that have been said about Jesus. We're going to be looking deeply at the Gospels, at what Jesus did. What Jesus did to bring people together, what Jesus did to provoke imagination, what Jesus did to heal people in community. So I hope that in these next 8 weeks that we're together, we can really lean into this season of possibility, following in the ways of Jesus. And it is a deep privilege to be here with you doing this together. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Cody. As Cody alluded to, we were going to have y'all discuss what your greatest hope is for 2025. And I think I'm just going to shift a little bit so that we have time to not rush you all through the communion line and have anybody choke on the body of Christ tonight. So I'll just invite you to instead reflect in yourself, what is one hope you have for 2025? Not a New Year's resolution, but just a hope. So reflect on that, maybe share it with someone after service, but in an effort to move us inwards of institution, I'll just ask you to do that privately. Perfect. And I'll invite awesome. Debbie and Soren up for words of institution.
Awesome. Soren, you wanna come over here with me? Can you grab the bread and I'll get the cup? See it right over here? Yep, you grab that bread and I'll grab this cup. I love what Cody said about possibilities. I sure want to be a community that it holds hope and is talking all the time about possibilities. And I think those possibilities happen when we keep our eyes on Jesus. And one of the things that we aspire to be is a community that is practicing the ways of Jesus by creating space for all to belong and all to be loved. And part of that is a rhythm that we hold every Sunday night when we share in the bread and the cup. And Soren, do you remember what the bread represents?
The body of Jesus.
You're exactly right. Thank you. And the cup, do you remember what the cup represents?
The blood of Jesus.
You are exactly right. So every Sunday when we gather, we break the bread. Can you break that bread? This is the body of Christ, broken for you. And then we hold up the cup. Do you think you can hold, or you, we could dip that in a second. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. And so we're going to invite you up during the song. And you can do it now. You take that bread and dip it into the cup. Thank you. Oh, and he's going to show you how to do it. And you put it right in your mouth, just like that. And hopefully in that moment you can remember that you are a beloved child of God, that you belong to God and we belong to one another. And that's what we have here at the table. And it's a beautiful thing. So, if you're able, could you please stand as together we pray the prayer. Do you remember who Jesus taught that prayer to?
His disciples.
To his disciples. Our God,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
It's always important, I think, to look back, to be present to this moment, and to look ahead a little bit. And I have to tell you that, for me, I teared up during the run-through as I watched Savona and then Gracie prepare for the songs they were going to sing, because I've known them since they were like Millie over here. I mean, babies. And so so much has happened in the life of this church over the years. I mean, I just gave a hug to a dear friend who lost a son 10 years ago today, who was part of this table community. I mean, there have been deep, deep sorrows and loss, and there has been just beautiful joys and celebrations, a lot of life. And you know what? This last year has been a hard one, and it's been a really good one. And here we are. We are here together because we all come together around this idea that following Jesus is important. It's core to who we are as a people. And it's such a beautiful thing. So as we look ahead to next year, to this year we're in, I guess, 2025, we're excited. And I wanted to just update you, if you haven't been around this week, myself and part of the church search team, we're going to be meeting on Friday with the group over at the Center of Belonging at the Aldridge Church to sort of finalize a hopeful move. And I say hopeful because it's not quite finalized, but we're hoping mid-March that we will be meeting on Sunday mornings in a space where we feel like we can build deep partnerships with people doing day-to-day ministry. And that's really exciting to us. If you were with us on Christmas Eve, we had 160 people in that space on Christmas Eve. And it was full. And despite, let's be honest, the sanctuary's kind of falling apart. But it is a good space for us. Because what it feels like when you're in there is we are in it together. We are community. We are family. And it is beautiful. So there's going to be an ask. So any of you who have some sort of a desire or talent for rolling up your sleeves and helping us just fix it up a little bit, we're going to be doing that in the next couple months. We'll be putting the word out. I've actually had people approach me and say, I want to be a part of that. Just cleaning it up. The lower level and the upper level where their kids is remodeled and ready to roll, but we're going to do some work on that first floor. So we're excited about what's going to happen there and the partnership and the being the church, the doing that Cody touched on, the doing. That's, we want to be a church that does, that steps into the neighborhood, that is partners with people. So we're really excited about that coming up. In February, we're having an all, not just women at the table, not men at the table, but an all people at the table in February. We don't meet on, we never meet on Super Bowl Sunday, so we're going to meet the day before on Saturday, and that day, the kids are welcome. We're going to have sledding. If we have snow, we're going to gather and have fun and connect, probably have some good eats, but we're also going to do a little vision casting for who we hope to continue to become as a community of faith, practicing the ways of Jesus. So we're excited about that. We're excited about the community meals coming up. We're excited about Pride in June, that we keep growing and deepening in that way. We're excited about our next co-lead pastor. So that's going out, that
talented team of people who worked since last August putting together a profile and interview questions and have done all that arranging. That's going to be, they're getting started on that right now. So they'll be doing the interviewing, and we're really excited about who God's calling to be pastoring this community along with the rest of our table team. So we just wanted you guys to know that we are excited about what's ahead. We're excited about this growing kids program because that's where we're growing with all these young families. And it is so encouraging and exciting to see how involved all the kids are and how they know each other and love each other and are learning to do life together, all knowing that they are deeply loved by God, just as they are. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jay or Sabona, who is going to do our benediction.
No matter who you are or what you've done, who you love or what you've lost, where you've gone or where you've stayed, there will always be a seat for you at the table because you are a beloved child of God and beloved you belong. Have a nice week.